Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
By all accounts, it looks like we are going to be in a new war escalation by summer. This is Mike Adams here, and it is late April 2025. And Gerald Celente is right when he says, when all else fails, they take you to war. It looks to me like Trump, who is already carrying out economic suicide against America right now with the tariffs, which will absolutely destroy small businesses, importers, even manufacturers, because they need the intermediate parts from China that they will no longer be able to get. But Trump is going to need a big war, a new war, either in Europe or the Middle East, in order to cover for the economic apocalypse that his policies have now unleashed upon all of us. Now, those policies may be Peter Navarro's policies, probably, but Trump went along with them, and Trump, he doesn't understand supply chains. He doesn't understand really much about economics. You know, building golf courses and hotels is not economics. That's mostly bluster and, you know, convincing banks to loan you money. What Trump has done is he has put us in a situation from which there is no economic escape other than war. And that's historically what has happened. And so I want to give you an understanding of what I think life is going to be like in America once this war, this new war, probably or maybe with Russia, maybe with Iran, whatever, maybe with China. I mean, those are the three candidates, right? Russia, Iran, and China. But as this gets underway, your life, my life, our lives are going to be impacted in such a profound way that we will think we are living in a third world country. And I wanted to go through that with you on a very practical level of what that's going to look like and feel like, and then some of the strategies that you can use to be able to navigate this with your assets intact, your home intact, your safety, all of that, and being able to get, you know, food supplies, etc. So in order to do this, I'm going to go back to my memory of my conversations with my grandparents. Now, my grandmother, who only recently died, she was born in 1917. And yes, she lived well over 100 years. She had fascinating stories of what life was like during the Great Depression and World War II. Now, she was a child in the Great Depression, and she was a working young adult in World War II, and her husband, my grandfather, they lived in a tent. They lived in a tent that was provided by the employer, which was some kind of manufacturer. I think it was located in Colorado at the time. And as a condition of working for the company, you were given a plot in a field with a canvas tent. And you could live in the tent and you could work at the company. And that was actually quite normal in those days. It was a common thing. And, you know, it wasn't considered a great life, obviously. Things got cold in the tent, you know, in the winter in Colorado. And the wind would blow through it, etc. But you do what you have to do to survive, right? And those kinds of tough times create tough people, it turns out. And my grandfather especially learned extraordinary practical skills, tooling skills, repair skills, etc. And my grandmother was an extraordinary writer, even though she didn't even have a high school education. She became a very, just a notable writer. I still have many of her letters, and it's from her that I credit my own writing skills and some of my wit also, because she was hilarious. She would write with jokes and satire and funny quips and so on. But she was a brilliant woman with an incredibly sharp memory. She could draw a map of every home in which she ever lived, even when she was in her 80s, like a floor plan. I mean, she just had this spot-on memory, which thank God I've been gifted with a lot of that as well. So anyway, when I was younger, I remember talking to them about life during the Great Depression and also World War II. And I don't remember all the details, of course, but there are a lot of very interesting things that I do remember about that. For example, I remember my grandfather saying that when, of course, you had to repair everything, and when a bicycle tire inner tube became so damaged that you could no longer repair it, you didn't throw it away. What you did is you cut it up to make pieces that you could use to resole your shoes. So you would use the rubber from the inner tube to add something to your shoes, because you couldn't just go out and buy new shoes, because of course, you know, you're living in poverty and living in a tent. You don't have tons of discretionary income to go out and just buy shoes all the time. So that's what they did. They reused everything. And of course, every woman at that time, every housewife, every woman, even young women, if they were to be socially acceptable, they would know how to sew things. And I understand that's, you know, today you might think, well, that's crazy. Why should the women do all the sewing? Well, I'm just telling you the way it was. The men would go to work in the tool factory and lose an arm. The women would stay home and, you know, try to cook up a meal and sew the clothes. Okay, that's the way it was for the most part. And sewing clothes, mending clothes, was an essential skill, because you couldn't just run out and buy new clothes all the time. And so having fabric patches was a very important thing to stockpile. And if you had a pair of jeans and you tore a hole in the jeans, or multiple holes, or you wore out the seat or whatever, or if the zipper stopped working, whatever, you didn't throw away the jeans. You kept the jeans because you could cut up pieces of it to use as patches for other pieces of clothing. And the reason I mention this is because this is coming back. You're going to find yourself living in such a collapsed economy with empty shelves, massive scarcity in many ways, spanning many things. Scarcity of food, scarcity of supplies, scarcity of tools, you know, scarcity of electronics, telecommunications, medical supplies, probably pharmaceuticals as well, irrigation supplies, agriculture, you name it. So much scarcity that the only way you're going to be able to survive this is to start stockpiling things and stop throwing everything away. You're going to need to learn how to repair and reuse. And this is a skill that used to be very common in from World War II all the way through, let's say, the late 1970s, I'm guessing. And then from that, in the 1980s especially, it became a throwaway society. And today, it's even worse. People just throw everything away. Americans produce endless mountains of garbage. And a lot of it's actually very useful in the right economic circumstances. So that's going to change. You're going to see Americans stop throwing everything away, and they're going to start saving things and stockpiling materials, which is, by the way, something that I've practiced on my ranch for quite some time in terms of like excess metal sheets or excess pieces of iron, like structural iron. You don't throw that stuff away. If you live on a ranch, you don't. You hold on to that, and yeah, it piles up somewhere. And then city people think, oh, it looks like a junk pile. No, that's just because you don't know how anything works in the real world. If you live in a city, you have no idea. You know, how does your stuff get made? How do homes get built? How do commercial buildings get built? How are things repaired? How does electrical conduit get installed with wire, etc.? For the most part, city people have no knowledge of these things, and so they don't stockpile supplies. But ranchers tend to do exactly that. Ranchers or rural people, they tend to hold on to things, which, again, makes their property look junky, but it's not actually junk. It's materials. Like, you don't throw away, well, I don't throw away, like, copper wiring. You'd be crazy to throw away copper. Given the scarcity of copper, given the value of it, you'd be crazy to throw away aluminum. wiring. Like, I've got piles of massive, really thick, like half inch diameter aluminum wire. I don't know if it's like 4 gauge or whatever it is, but you know, it conducts electricity. Is that useful? You bet it is. You bet it is. You know, I stockpile, I've got piles of PVC pipe. I've got piles of PEX pipe. You know, I've got, and believe me, everybody who lives on a ranch these days does exactly the same thing. You stockpile supplies. And it turns out that's going to end up saving us from, you know, not being able to have electricity maybe one day because, a piece of wire burned out or something and you need to replace it. So, you know, you better have the tools, the crimpers, the heat shrink tubing, you know, all of it. This is how it works. So the first thing I want to say to you is, where you can, you know, I'm not asking you to turn into a hoarding pack rat. Now, I describe hoarding as holding on to stuff that's useless. You know, so if you hold on to, like, I remember I met somebody long ago who had held on to, they used to go skiing a lot, and they had held on to every lift ticket that they had ever received at every ski resort where they had ever visited because they thought, you know, it was great. They even held on to paper plates that they had used. And I'm not saying do that because that sounds crazy to me. And that's how you end up with a house like so full of stuff that you have to like hike over piles of stuff to make it to your own bathroom. You know, like that's a hoarding problem, okay? I'm talking about organizing and stockpiling useful stuff. Stuff that's hard to get. Like, for example, diesel fuel. So yeah, I stockpile diesel fuel. And it's a great idea to have a 500-gallon diesel fuel tank and have it filled with diesel. And then, you know, you put in the treatments and everything to extend the life, and I've found that I can use diesel fuel for 10 years if I treat it correctly, which actually kills bacteria because there are bacteria that grow in diesel, and it prevents sludge buildup, etc. So stockpiling diesel is not hoarding. Stockpiling diesel is foresight because we don't know what's going to happen to the diesel supply if there's a war with Iran and Iran shuts the Strait of Hormuz, correct? So there's that. And then I do things like I stockpile silver plates to use for colloidal silver production because that's how we make, you know, we make colloidal silver as part of our product line for the silver mouthwash and everything, healthrangerstore.com, if you want to check it out, or the silver-based first aid gel. So we use silver plates, and these plates are expensive, as you might imagine, because there's a lot of silver in them. And I don't know what's going to happen to price of silver, but I think it's going to skyrocket. And so I'm stockpiling silver plates so I can make thousands of gallons of colloidal silver even if silver prices go insane or if there's massive silver scarcity, which is probably also coming. So those are the kinds of things I do. It's just called, you know, planning. And then things like emergency medicine. So yeah, I stockpile syringes, disposable syringes, the lure lock type. And then I stockpile the lure lock needles of different gauges and different lengths. And then I stockpile chlorine dioxide. You know, I stockpile iodine. Like emergency medicine, because I don't know, if we're in a war, something might happen where our local clinic needs supplies and people are dying from simple infections, which is actually a thing. And if I could donate, you know, like a gallon jug of iodine or something, or a bunch of isopropyl alcohol, or some needles, or some antibiotics, or whatever, then I'm gonna make that donation in order to help save lives. And I've said this before, you know, I tend to stockpile at a community level. So I'm thinking about, like, what can I contribute to the local community through clinics or churches or what have you? And I understand that not everybody's in that situation where they can buy or even store large amounts of supplies. I happen to be in the business of, you know, I mean, having a warehouse and having a forklift, etc. So it's easier for me to pull that off. But even if you can't do that, you can store enough for a household, or you should be able to. You should be able to set aside things that are important, and I encourage you to do that and really start getting into that reuse mindset, repair, reuse, or repurpose. It's the three R's: repair, reuse, repurpose. How can you use this same thing in a way that's repurposed for something else? And also realizing that you may not be able to call a handyman, a repairman, an HVAC person, etc. And let me just give you a tip on air conditioning. If you have electricity, then your problem's solved. But HVAC systems rely on parts from China. A lot of HVAC systems, their components fail. Circuit boards fail. Sensors fail. Control panels fail, etc. So what I've come to find is that the most reliable sort of decentralized way to cool your house is to just buy these standalone air conditioning units that connect to your window, and they blow hot air out the window while they're blowing cool air inside your home or your room. And I've tried many different brands, and the brand that I've found to be the best and to use the least amount of electricity per BTU is called Midea, M-I-D-E-A. I think that's how you pronounce it. Midea, whatever. And I don't know where these are made. I suspect they're probably made in China, but maybe they're Japanese. I'm not sure, but they're good. And where you can't call the HVAC repairman, you can certainly pop one of these units on the floor, open up your window, and it comes with a thing that just fills the lower part of your window, and there you go. You've got an air conditioning solution. And the thing about these is it doesn't run any coolant lines, because all those lines always leak. So if you have an air conditioning unit in your home, it's got coolant lines that go to the outside unit that blows the heat out. I think they call that a condenser, or I forgot the terminology, or the air exchanger. So those lines always leak. Always, always, always. And the best way to get rid of those lines is to have a unit that's self-contained. It's got no lines. And that's these Midea units. I mean, you can pick them up for like $500 or $600. And they may not cool your whole house, but you may not be able to cool your whole house in the middle of a war and empty shelves and, you know, freaking embargo on imports. So you may get to cool one room. You may be happy just to have electricity, honestly. So work with what you have, but make it decentralized so you're not depending on the repairman all the time. And also, of course, having a backup generator makes sense, but this is a tough one. I mean, solar generators are great. Of course, you can get those from our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com, right? Those are great, but if you want to run more high-draw appliances like refrigerators or freezers or dryers or cook stoves that are electric, etc., you'll need more than a battery-powered unit. You'll probably need an engine that's a generator. And you know, most people opt for the gasoline engines, which is the cheapest way to begin getting a generator. And the problem with that is that the gasoline engines, you have to store gasoline, and I refuse to do that. I refuse to store gasoline because it's so damn dangerous. That stuff, one spark and you're gone. You know, big kaboom, that's it. Diesel, on the other hand, is almost impossible to set fire to. That's why there are no spark plugs in a diesel engine, by the way, because it doesn't even matter. The sparks don't even help. Seriously, there are no spark plugs in a diesel engine, and you can't. I mean, I'm not saying that you should try, but if you were to try to set fire to diesel, you would have a hard time doing it. I've tried. I've done that. Not saying you should, but I've done that. And you can't set fire to it unless you have like a blowtorch or something. Diesel's very, very safe to store. And so the best answer on this is to have a diesel generator. And I found, in my opinion, Kubota, which is a Japanese company, makes the best diesel engine generators. They're not tiny. They're not even small. I have one. I think it's either a 12 or a 14 kilowatt version that I move around with a forklift, because it's made for that. You can just put forks right in it and move it around. It'll go in the back of a truck too, but I think they have smaller units that are like 7 kilowatts, something in that range. But let me tell you, I've purchased a lot of farm equipment over the years, a lot, you know, different tractors and different vehicles and different generators. The thing about Kubota is they always start. Everything else, not so much, but Kubota always starts. So here I am recommending brands to you. They're not sponsoring my podcast, obviously. I'm just telling you what works and what can help you be more self-reliant. Kubota is the way to go. And if you need a little hobby tractor for your farm or a big tractor, get a Kubota. So that's my advice on all of this. And, you know, get ready. It's going to get interesting. And I'll have a lot more information for you at brighttown.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can also follow my articles at naturalnews.com. Take care.
The economy's tough. Trade embargoes are underway. Trade wars. The supply chain is taking a beating. A lot of people are losing jobs right now. So what are we doing to help you be able to afford clean food and high-potency nutrition? Well, here at healthrangerstore.com, we've just launched a program called Buy More, Save More. And if you go to healthrangerstore.com/save, that's all you have to enter in, healthrangerstore.com/save, you'll see that we have 209 products on this special program, which gives you an automatic discount coupon code when you purchase a higher quantity. For example, Health Rangers Hawaiian Astaxanthin right here. You click on that, and you can, this is your normal savings of 29%, or you can go here and you can buy more, save more. You can buy 3, get 5%, buy 6, get 6%. We don't have like massive margins on these, by the way. So, but these savings are significant. And then if you click grab this deal, then it adds that to your shopping cart and it puts the discount code in there automatically. So there's your discounted price. Buy more, save more on all 209 products that we have available on this program, everything from chlorella to nascent iodine, concentrated mineral drops. As you can see, many, many items. We've done this for you. Now, you might ask, how can we do this when all these tariffs are kicking in on China, like 150% tariffs? And so imported products from China are going up in price. Well, guess what? We don't import anything from China, except I think goji berries. But we've been China free in our supply chain, or almost 100% China free for many, many years. So we are not impacted by these high tariffs from China. Now, there are 10% tariffs on products from other countries. And we do source different materials from different countries, just depending on the material. For example, we get our non-GMO vitamin C out of the United Kingdom, because we don't buy GMO vitamin C from China, which is the cheap vitamin C that everybody else sells. So we have high-end non-GMO vitamin C. And yeah, it's more expensive, but it's not going up in price because we're not hit by the tariff. So this is why we're able to put together these savings for you and actually pass along discounts at a time when almost all the other retailers are hiking their prices because they source almost everything from China. It's kind of like the dirty little secret of the nutrition industry. People getting everything from China, from, you know, herbs and vitamins and nutrients and amino acids and all of it. Most of it actually comes from China, folks. So that's going to get very expensive, but we're able to help save you money with this program. Buy more, save more. So check it out again. It's at healthrangerstore.com/save, and you can scroll down and see everything that we have available for you. So many different solutions, everything from personal care products to here's Manuka honey, and here's our tooth salt, and here's whey protein, and broccoli sprout powder high in natural sulforaphane, which is an amazing molecule. You know, so much more, right? Food, supplements, storable foods, superfoods, personal care products, home care, all kinds of products available on this program. Buy more, save more, and trust me, you're never going to see lower prices than this for the future. Because, well, you know, inflation, the dollar's collapsing, so everything's going up in price no matter what. But thank God that our supply chain has banned Chinese suppliers for many, many years, you know, again, except for goji berries, which come from the Tibetan high altitude regions of China. So thank goodness we made that decision many years ago so that our products are not skyrocketing in price, even during this trade war. So yes, you can stay healthy. You can have outstanding nutrition, outstanding superfoods. You can boost your preps during this trade war by shopping with us at healthrangerstore.com/save. And thank you for your support.